Well, the Lord has certainly tinkered with this sermon this morning. And it's not going to take the form that I've been planning all week. But the Lord broke in and has a little different bent that he wants me to take this morning. I read a book not long ago, and or purchased a book not long ago, and the title is, you see in the cover of your bulletin, The 19, and it's Questions to Kindle a Wesleyan Spirit. When John Wesley, well over 200 years ago, actually over 300 years ago, when he started ordaining ministers, he came up with a series of questions that he would ask those that he was about to send into the ministry. Questions that the ministers had to answer correctly if they wanted to enter ministry. Those same questions are asked today of United Methodist ministers at their ordination. And as I was reviewing those questions with all that has been going on in the Methodist Church here recently and all the turmoil and things, and I'm so interested in history, and so I've been going back and reading some of Wesley and his works, and I looked again at these questions. And I realized that these questions are not just for ministers, but indeed they are for all Christians. They are questions that we must answer. We must answer in the right way if the Lord is going to use us in ministry. And the first question that was asked of ministers then, is asked of ministers today, and I ask of all of us this morning, is this: have you faith in Christ? Have you faith in Christ? Now, that can almost seem like an insulting question. I've been here about 4 years now, and if some of you would come up to me and seriously ask me, do you have faith in Christ? Well, I'd feel a little insulted. You mean after all this time? I mean, after all this time of me being here and you getting to know me, you don't know if I have faith in Christ by now? But Wesley understood that we can deceive ourselves. We can kid ourselves, if you will, into believing things that literally are not true about ourselves. And so he asked his ministers then, and I ask us today, do you have faith in Christ? And notice here, it doesn't look like it, but it is in actuality a two-part question. Have you faith? That's the first part of the question. Have you faith? Now, most people would say, I have faith. That in and of itself is not enough. I know people, sadly, I know ministers who say they have faith, but they will say, in Christ, I'm not so sure. Christ may be one way to the Father. Christ was a good teacher while he was here, but the unique Son of God, I don't think so. You see, it's a two-part question. Have you faith in what? What is the object of your faith? If the object of your faith is Christ, then that's the right answer. Our faith is to be in Jesus Christ. And that is so very, very important. I would refer you to today's scripture reading. And if you have your Bibles with you, turn there to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, and we're going to look at the first 12 verses of 1 John 5. It said, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. That is a telltale, unmistakable mark of a true believer in God. If you love the Father, you will love the Son. They are inalterably linked, and if you truly love one, you will love the other.
This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out His commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep His commands. And what is the great command? That we love God and love each other. We cannot say that we love God if we do not love each other, because our love for each other is the evidence that we love God. That is the evidence to the world that we love God. And so we can't say, "Boy, I love God, but that Gary Campbell, I just can't stand." Can't say that. We can't say that. Well, I suppose we could, but it wouldn't be right, you know. We can't say that, because when we love God, we love God's children. They always go together. And we keep His commands, and as I said, that is to love. What did Jesus say? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, soul, strength, and love others as yourself. That is the litmus test for if we are a follower of God. And the Bible says that, and the Scripture said, His commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. Now, what does that mean? That means that God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, gives us the strength to overcome our sinful natures, gives us the strength to grow in Christ, gives us the strength to obey Him. You cannot say that you love God when you are not living in obedience to God. Because again, living in obedience to God is a telltale sign that you are a child of God. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. Now, this is so important. First of all, we need to understand who the author of this was. 1 John, that was the Apostle John, the same one who wrote the Gospel of John, the same one who wrote the book of Revelation. This is John, who saw so much of what Jesus did. And he said there are three validations. There are three validations proving that the object of our faith, Jesus Christ, is who He says He is. Three validations, three proofs, if you will, of who Jesus is. First, he said the first validation is by water. What is he talking about there? He is talking about Jesus' baptism. And what is it that happened to Jesus at his baptism? What is it that probably John himself literally saw and heard? When Jesus went into the Jordan River and John the Baptist baptized him, when he came up out of the water, the Spirit of God descended upon him like a dove. And the voice of God said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Hear him." Folks, that is a proof, a validation of Jesus' identity. You can't get, that is God saying, "This is who He is." You can't get any better validation than that. "This is my beloved Son." And so John says that's one validation, that's one proof of who the object of our faith, who Jesus Christ is. And the second proof, the second validation is by blood. Not only by water, what happened to him at baptism, but by blood. And he is referring there to his crucifixion, when he shed his blood for you and for me. And he is saying, by Christ going to the cross, by Christ paying the penalty for our sins, by through what Christ has done for us, we have salvation. That is, again, another validation, another proof of who Jesus Christ is. And so we not only have the fact that God the Father
said, "This is my son." We have also the fact that he is our Messiah. He is our Savior because of what he accomplished on the cross. And through his death on the cross, you and I have salvation. And it is also the Spirit who testifies. The third proof, the third validation of who Jesus Christ is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit never speaks of himself. The Holy Spirit always will bring you to the Father and to the Son. And it is the Holy Spirit who testifies, it says, because the Spirit is truth. And so you have the Holy Spirit within you, which testifies and tells us at salvation, yes, you have been forgiven. Yes, you are right with God. Yes, you have right standing with God, and it's based on Jesus Christ and what he has done for you. And so we have this threefold testimony, this threefold validation of who Jesus is, the object of our faith, the one in which we can truthfully rest our salvation. We can be assured that we have eternal life through Jesus Christ. And the three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. I was actually playing a song in my office this morning, and it's a song that there's going to be a lot of people involved in singing this song on Dedication Sunday when we dedicate the new building. We might even have an announcement about that next week. Stay tuned. And it's a song by Chris Tomlin called, "Is He Worthy?" And it goes through these things that Jesus Christ did. And it says, "Is He worthy? Is He worthy? Is He worthy?" And then it reaches the end of the song and it says, "He is. He is worthy of our trust, of our devotion." And so when Wesley was asking that question, and indeed when I'm asking you that question this morning, I ask, have you faith in the one who deserves your faith and trust? Have you faith in Christ? Do you know that Christ cares for you? Do you know that Christ loves you? Do you know that Christ is involved in your life and is looking out for you? Do you know personally that he is worthy of your faith? What I'm about to tell you, I'm going to keep it general. I have to keep it general for privacy's sake, and I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, although it doesn't involve anyone here. Thursday night, I was toward the end of the day, and 8 or 9 o'clock, and I'm not doing much around the house there. And suddenly I was just overcome by a tremendous burden. To pray for this particular person. Just such an overwhelming conviction that I have not had in years. You must pray for this person now. And I did not know why. I had no clue. But I immediately began to pray for this person. And I prayed for strength for them and protection over them because I wasn't sure even what I was praying about. So I prayed for their protection. I believe I even prayed that their life might be spared. Just prayed and prayed with passion and boldness because I had that overwhelming burden upon me. And I prayed and I prayed. And then I went to bed. And I was awakened in the middle of the night. And that tremendous burden was even more upon me. And I could not sleep. And so I got up out of bed and went in the living room and sat down on the couch. And I began to pray again much the same way as I had prayed before, for strength and protection upon this person, that God would look over them and keep them safe. And I prayed that way for quite a while and finally went back to bed, I think around 4 or so. Long day,
Friday, I was driving all over the place to do different things, and I was out of town, and I got a call while I was in the car, and some information was relayed to me. They said, "Do you know what happened to this person last night?" I said, "No." And they proceeded to tell me. And again, I can't tell you the details, but it was horrible. It was horrifying. It was about the worst thing that you can go through in this life. I mean, it was awful. And when I heard that, I got such a sick feeling. I literally became sick at what they had gone through. I had this dual thing going on. I was so sick at what they had gone through. But I was so thankful because God had me pray the night before. And it blessed me so because God, I had no clue, but God knew exactly what was going on. And God, while that person was going through this horrifying experience, God had people praying for this person. Don't tell me that Jesus doesn't care. Don't tell me that Jesus doesn't intervene in our lives. Don't tell me that Jesus doesn't go before us and helps us along life's way. Don't tell me that Jesus is not worthy of our faith. When we go through the worst that life can throw at us, Jesus Christ is there. When we feel Christ, Jesus Christ, where are you right now? He is right there, whether we feel his presence or not. He is there. And going back to that song, is he worthy? Oh, yes, he is. Yes, he is worthy of our trust and faith and devotion and praise. And so I ask you this morning that same simple question that Wesley asked his ordinance and ministers are asked today. Do you have faith in Christ? In the one who loves you so? He is worthy. He is worthy of your faith. Folks, I know many people who will, if you ask them, do you have faith in Christ? They will answer in the affirmative. But they will answer yes based on their circumstances. Things are going pretty good right now. Things are going pretty good. You know, I'm smooth sailing. Future looks good. Yes, I have faith. But if the next day circumstances would turn and the sky would darken, that same person oftentimes might say, I don't know if I have faith. I'm not sure I have faith. And the reason is too often our faith is in our circumstances rather than in the God of our circumstances. And so today I simply ask you, do you have faith in Jesus Christ? That is life's most important question. It is so much more important than the stupid ways we separate ourselves today according to economics or race or this or that or the other thing, all these artificial barriers we put up. The only real question and the only true dividing line for all eternity is this: do you have faith in Christ? And so today, as I believe Gary said, we should search our hearts. Search your heart. Do you have faith in Christ? The altar is open and the invitation is given today. He is worthy. He is worthy. Whether you are on top of the mountain or whether you're in the deepest, darkest valley, he is worthy of your faith.
And so as our worship leaders will come this time, let us reaffirm our faith in the Almighty Son of God. And if you have never made that commitment, I urge you to do that today. And let us just spend a season in prayer saying, "You are worthy. You are worthy, Son of God, of all of our praise and honor and glory. You are worthy." The altar is open. The invitation is given today to praise Him, to honor Him, to thank Him and give Him glory.